Governor Kristi Noem, South Dakota. Good morning, Governor. Thanks for joining us live here in New Hampshire. Good morning, New Hampshire. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm doing great. Sun's shining in South Dakota, and we're doing very, very well.
Well, interesting background. You've gotten onto the national stage. Governor Chris Sununu in New Hampshire as well. We'll see where all this goes. You know it's a busy week here. Just heard Paul Steinhauser, Governor DeSantis of Florida, on the way here Friday. Let me start, though, with you, Governor. A little bit about you. A lot of our folks may not know you as well as they may in the months to come. But let's talk a little bit about your own governor, being Governor of South Dakota. You've made a lot of news, I think, a few years ago during all the COVID stuff. It's interesting, Governor DeSantis and Governor Sununu talking about freedoms. And yet, I think you were talking about a lot of the things in South Dakota for independence and freedoms and bucking against a lot of the lockdown and shutdown stuff that I think we know more in hindsight, but you seem to talk about it then.
Yeah, you know, we certainly have. My background is I'm a farmer and a rancher, ran several businesses before I ever ran for office, served in Congress for 8 years, ran for governor because I recognized that governors are CEOs. They can set an agenda and do big things, make decisions every day that benefits their people. I think probably most people heard about me when the liberals started kicking me in the head during COVID for the decisions I was making in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were the only state that never once closed a single business, never mandated anything, did not, say anybody couldn't gather in gatherings. In fact, we had the Sturgis motorcycle bike rally. We hosted President Trump at Mount Rushmore. We had the only professional sporting events with spectators here in our state, and just trusted people to use personal responsibility. So that made, you know, liberals come after me and attack me because I was the only one in the country making those types of decisions. But I tell you, it worked, and our people are happy.
Right.
We've got the strongest economy in the country. Our personal incomes have grown the second fastest in the nation. We're top five for inbound migration. And remember, this is South Dakota. I don't have beaches. I don't have warm weather in January. So when people move to our state, they move here because they want to be here and be free and have the quality of life that we have. So it's quite a testimony. And I've had several governors tell me over the last couple of years, listen, when you refused to shut down, you gave us cover.
Yeah.
You gave us cover, and we could open our states back up because they were so busy attacking you. You know, we could come back and let people go back to work and go back to church. And you know, they said that was, we know it was hard, but thank you for doing that because it got us back on track.
Yeah, I remember the name calling at the time, Governor. You listen to Governor Kristi Noem, South Dakota, 33rd governor, I believe, of the state, joining us live this morning. Governor, I want to talk about Senator Scott coming here tomorrow, Ron DeSantis coming here Friday. I had Mike Pompeo on the show Monday. Busy time up here in the first in the nation presidential primary state. Are we going to see you here soon? And how are you considering a run for president in 2024 as a Republican?
You know, it's interesting, Jack. Everybody you just mentioned, we all got elected to Congress in 2010 together. We all came in that historic class of Republicans, mm-hmm, that took back the majority in the House. And, Tim Scott and Ron DeSantis, Mike Pompeo and I were all colleagues and worked together. It's interesting to see where we are today. And I think we're all leaders in different ways. I would say that we need a president who's a fighter, who has championed something that was hard and did what this country stood for and made tough decisions. And, you know, we got a lot of politicians these days that talk.
Mm-hmm.
There's not very many doers. So I would encourage all your New Hampshire voters to really look at the records of everybody who is asking for their vote for president and say, I know they talk big and I know they say a lot of stuff, but what are they actually doing?
Right.
Did they really sign constitutional carry? Did they really defend life if that's what they care about? Did they really, you know, make sure they weren't mandating to people on their personal property and businesses? Were they really protecting our freedoms? I think that's important because you got to have a president that can withstand the fire more now than ever, and especially with the national security threats we have.
Well, you led, and you've talked about it. Are you going to form an exploratory committee? Are you going to consider a run for president?
You know, I think that I'm focused on South Dakota right now. I'm going to be going to the NRA here tomorrow and be talking to them about some of our freedoms and be visiting with folks about the direction of our country. I think we have the blueprint in South Dakota that no other state has on what America needs to do. Our people here are more successful than anywhere else and doing better. I think that's important.
Let's talk about your speech you're going to be giving at the NRA this Friday, the convention.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the fact that people think we're in unprecedented times, and we are. But I'm going to speak a little bit about the fact that 25 years ago, when Charlton Heston became the chairman of the NRA, his acceptance speech was almost exactly like today's situation. And it's about not just about standing for freedom. It's also about winning the hearts and minds of Americans. Our Second Amendment, is there to ensure that civilians have the ability for deterrence, and not deterrence against each other, deterrence against an overbearing, corrupt government. And that's why we defend our Second Amendment. So the reminder of the history of why it exists and why it's important to defend today is incredibly important. And honestly, Jack, I don't know of any other grandma that's going to be standing there giving a speech this week at the NRA. And I don't know of any other, mom that's going to be standing there talking about these things. So I'm a different kind of a messenger for the NRA, but I am the NRA. And that's what people need to realize, is that we have to have a strong NRA right now that has a clear message on why it's important that we continue to defend our laws that we have today, but defend our rights, and not be pursuing new restrictive gun laws in violation of those liberties.
Governor Noem, you tweeted out at some point here recently, South Dakota will not allow this to stand. We will lead. We will defend our laws. Only girls will play girls' sports. President Biden will see you in court. Can you elaborate?
Well, his interpretation of Title IX is ridiculous. I mean, give me a break. I can't believe what comes out of the federal government. So I have the strongest bill in the country to defend girls' sports, to allow only girls to play in girls' sports. It was drafted correctly so it can withstand court challenges, and that we could win and set up a precedent that allows us to protect that fairness. When the federal government and Biden came out with their new interpretation of Title IX, I have no problem suing them when they overstep. So, yes, we'll have to challenge them. We have challenged the federal government and Biden before on his federal regulations and rules he's come out, and we've won. So we've got a track record here in South Dakota of not just passing bills, but passing strong bills that can be challenged in court and can withstand the test of time, that actually pushes back on the federal government. And we'll do that here, too.
Governor Noem, before I let you go, polls are only polls. Snapshots of a day and time like today or recently. Former President Donald Trump leads in New Hampshire in the St. Anselm College Institute of Politics recent poll over Governor DeSantis and Governor Sununu and Nikki Haley and others. Leads apparently in South Carolina. Do you think this recent Manhattan DA and the grand jury and all the stuff of the last few weeks have helped sort of clinch the nomination for former President Donald Trump, or do you think it's wide open, the race?
No, I think it helps him in the short term, but not the long term. I mean, that's my honest interpretation, that, I think it definitely is a political attack, that it definitely is something that is unprecedented and inappropriate. And frankly, I think Alvin Bragg should lose his law license and should never be allowed to practice again for taking this kind of action that is so illegal, and to elevate it to the level that he has. So, but in the long term, I don't know. This country tends to have ADD. They pay attention to something for a month or two, and then they move on. And that's what's difficult about politics. We need an informed public to pick the right leader right now to protect this country. If we lose this country, where will we go?
Right.
Where is it better, Jack? So I would encourage people to wake up and to go out there and to continue to pay attention, be engaged, make sure we get the right leaders that keep us safe.
Real quickly, are you having a fentanyl crisis in South Dakota? I did a special a couple of weeks ago. More young people are dying from a drug overdose in this country than anything else. We have a fentanyl crisis here in New England. I don't know why we don't do more in terms of the southwest border, where we know it's coming across. It may originate in China from a derivative point of view, but we know what the cartels are doing. We've talked a lot with the DEA, and mothers on this show have lost children to a fentanyl poisoning. What are you seeing in South Dakota, and what do we need to do about this?
We have a unique situation, Jack, in South Dakota. I've had my National Guard down on the border for the last couple of years, because I think that we all are border states right now. So as a governor, I've taken action and put my guard there, and they volunteered to go. Beyond that, I have 9 Native American tribes that are sovereign nations, and the cartels are set up on some of these reservations, and they can operate without any kind of exposure to me because I don't have jurisdiction there. So that allows the cartels to funnel fentanyl and drugs and meth through my reservations. But I will tell you, because we've been so strong as a state and I set up a meth interdiction unit that aggressively goes after fentanyl, meth, and these drugs, we have the second lowest drug overdoses in the country. So while I have the cartels literally operating within my state because they're protected by tribal land, we have the second lowest overdoses. Wow. We still have a crisis, but it's because of actions that I've taken to specifically target them with law enforcement experts that are going after and stopping it before it's killing more of our
amazing.
Kids.
Amazing. Right. Governor Noem, generous of the time. Thank you. Went a little long. Appreciate it. We'll get you back again soon. Good morning, New Hampshire, GMI Studios. Thank you, Governor Kristi Noem, South Dakota, live this morning, and hope to see you in New Hampshire soon. Thank you, Governor.
Yeah. Thanks, Chuck.